Let's be upstanding. We're going to read Exodus chapter 4 and verse 29. It says, "And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they had heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the blessings we've already received. Help us tonight, Lord, to not be distracted. Help me, Father, to say what you want me to say and to leave everything else outside. Father, give us wisdom, Lord. Be speaking to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Have a seat. So Exodus chapter 4, 29, this is early on in the story of Moses, but it's the end of the story, getting towards the end of the story of the Israelites' slavery. Now they had been there for a long, long time. It says in Exodus chapter 12, I'll read you one verse real quick, Exodus 12:40 says, "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. For 430 years, the people of Israel had been slaves. They had been in Egypt. They hadn't been slaves for all of it. For a long, long time, though, they had been slaves. We can't really grasp 430 years. And so I asked my calculator, and it said, to us, that would be the year 1594 is 430 years ago. That's a long time ago. Nothing important happened in 1594. I looked it up. I Wikipedia'd it. Nothing important to tell you. There was something about King Henry IV of France. It was the first year he was ever in Paris. But that means nothing to any of us here this evening. But that's a long time ago. Does somebody remember that? I'm sorry. Sorry. There are French people here. I've got to be more careful what I say. I'll just rewrite everything really quick. Hang on. We don't know anybody who was alive in 1594. Often we think of the Israelites knowing their generations, and they did very well. But for 430 years, they were generations of slaves. They'd grown up under bondage, under the whips of the Egyptians, hoping that one day someone was going to come and they were going to get out of Egypt. And then a man who ran away 40 years earlier, a man who grew up in the palace, showed up on their doorstep with his brother and said, "Hey, it's time." And Aaron spoke to them and showed them the signs. And verse 31 says, "And the people believed. And when they had heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped." In the mind of the elders of Israel right now, they're thinking, this is the end. There is no more suffering after this point. And can you imagine 430 years of a burden on you, of thinking, my children are going to grow up in this same slavery, and their children are going to grow up in this same slavery. And then a man comes and your burden is lifted, and you go, this is it, there's a way out, we're going to leave. They bowed their heads, they worshipped. It's hard to imagine the relief that that takes of nearly half a millennia of slavery that they're going to get out of. They were unburdened. We want to talk tonight about our burdens. These guys right this moment were unburdened. And as Christians, we become unburdened when we become saved. We speak to Jesus. He takes our sins away. The story of Pilgrim's Progress, when he's at the cross and that big, humongous burden rolls away. It disappears. And that's such a good picture for us as Christians, because you know what it's like if you've been saved. When you spoke to the Lord and he took your sins away, there is a burden that is gone. And it's hard to describe. But like the children of Israel, we have a habit, and that habit is to pick our burdens back up. We take them back. It's like pilgrim running down the hill after his burden, going, hang on, my hankies were in there. There's something in the burden that he wants. In the world today, and in Christian circles, depression is rising. People are scared. They're sad. We talk a little bit, me and Abby, about the world that our children are going to be growing up in, and it's a scary, scary thing. We pick our burdens back up, and all of us do it, and we all have different burdens, and we leave them at Jesus' feet. And then sometime down the road, we pick it back up. We want to talk tonight about why we do that. Why do we pick those burdens back up? And we're going to use the children of Israel as an example, because at this moment, they were unburdened. Those elders went home to their families and said, "You'll never guess what just happened. Start packing your stuff, because we're going." This was before the plagues. This was before any of that, but they were already getting excited. And you would be too, if all you'd known is slavery and you were about to get out of it. Now we're going to skip ahead, we're going to skip over the plagues, we're going to skip over the Red Sea, and we're going to go to chapter 14 of Exodus. Exodus 14. We're going to go to the Red Sea. Sorry, we're not skipping that far ahead, we're skipping over the plagues. Now we just went through the plagues in youth group, and there's a couple of my youth group kids here tonight, but I won't ask them about the 10 plagues, because I can't name them all off the top of my head sometimes. But the 10 plagues have come and gone. The Israelites have left. They're walking towards the Red Sea. And we're going to start in chapter 14 and verse 10. Actually, no, let's start in verse 9. "But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." The first reason that we pick our burdens back up is that we don't believe God. It's not that we don't believe in God, it's we don't believe God. We don't believe what He says, we don't believe the promises that He makes, the things that He tells us He's going to do and He is not going to do. But the people at this point didn't believe that God was taking them to the promised land. At this point, the conspiracy theorists in the crowd had the voice and were saying, "He brought us here to kill us. He's working with the Egyptians. Didn't he grow up in the palace? I'll bet he's been scheming this whole time. We're all going to get dumped in the Red Sea and no one's ever going to know what happened to the Israelites." We make up reasons to take back our burdens. We worry, we have anxiety, and we go, "God won't do what he said he will do." And at the moment of salvation, when those burdens are gone, we know in our heart, God's going to do the things he said he's going to do. And at the moments of spiritual victory in our lives, we know God is going to look after us. We can talk to the missionaries who are here tonight. We can talk to people who've been on mission trips, and they can tell you that there's a different type of faith on the mission field because you've tested him, because you've tested the Lord. You've pushed the boundaries, and you've seen what he is willing to do. And if you think about the children of Israel, they should have known. They'd just watched 10 plagues go through Egypt and leave the Israelites alone. They'd just watched the Pharaoh give up an entire nation of slaves. They should have been aware. They should have believed God through Aaron and Moses, but they didn't. When Satan comes to Eve in the garden, he says the most clever thing he could think of. He said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said?" He put doubt. He put doubt in the things that the Lord had said, the things the Lord had promised, the things the Lord had told them. Do we really believe that? Do you really believe, Eve, that if you eat this, you're going to die? That sounds crazy. That sounds crazy. Eve, do you really believe? Eve, look at me. Eve, you're not going to die. And the seed of doubt, the disbelief that comes into our lives is so pervasive. And once it's in, it's so hard to get out. And the Israelites are just like us. And they believed until it got hard. And then they picked that burden back up. And then you see what it did to them. They started to whinge. They started to complain and to worry. That burden that they had put down only 10 chapters before was now firmly back on their shoulders. It doesn't take much. Let's go down to verse 31. You know what, Leno, let's go, not quite that, let's go a bit close up. Let's go to verse 26, because we need to see what happened here. Exodus 14, 26 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea." Let's go to verse 31. "And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." The belief came back. They saw the power of the things that God could do, and they believed again. That burden got dropped again. In the middle of the Red Sea, that burden disappeared. And the Israelites were good. For a little while, the Israelites were good. They believed. Let's go to chapter 16. So the first reason we pick up our burdens, we don't believe God. Exodus 16 and verse 2. "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." It didn't take long for that burden to come back, did it? Took a chapter, one chapter, verse 15, and that was pretty much a song. When that song finished, guess who was whinging all over again? That burden didn't go very far at all. This time, it's they do believe God, but we see here, the second reason that we pick up our burdens again is that we don't trust God. We don't trust Him. We don't trust Him to meet our needs. We don't trust Him to protect us. We don't trust Him in all these little things that we do. And we've had a long weekend. We're having a long weekend. And I don't seem to do very well with long periods of no responsibility. I fidget and I get inside my head, and there's lots of little issues that come in. And these are issues that I've given to the Lord and I've talked to God about, and I've said, "Lord, this is for you. I can't hold on to this burden." But when there's nothing to do, those little burdens start to come back, and they pile on top of each other, and they pile on top. And before long, I am just bogged down all over again because I don't trust that God can do it. And so I decide I'm going to do it. The Israelites here were saying, "You know what? The Egyptians looked after us better than the Lord does. There's flesh pots in Egypt. What's out here? There's just sand. We're out here. Once again, you brought us forth to die." That's the chorus of this whole story that the Israelites are going through. "We're actually here to die, aren't we, Moses? You're actually here just to kill us." I'm just going to turn to one verse in Proverbs really quick. I wrote it down and I don't remember what it says, so let's have a look. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, of course, says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I love that we don't have to lean to our own understanding, because I don't understand anything. If I was leaning on my own understanding, I'd be a very sad, hungry little boy. And at the moment, I'm just a little boy, so that's fine. But that verse shows us that trust is needed for direction. If you don't trust whatever it is, you're not going to believe what it says. If you have a GPS and it goes, "Turn left in 300 meters," and you go, "No, that's stupid. I'm going to go forward and then I'm going to turn right in 800 meters. If you don't trust the GPS, your direction is not going to be the right one. For the most part, some GPSs are a little bit crazy. That's just the robots trying to kill us. But if you were to pull into a strange little town and ask someone for directions, and there's a crazy old man there who's got half an eye and is shaking like he's got six different types of Alzheimer's, and he goes, "Turn left up the road," you're going to wonder, and you're going to go, "Do I trust this guy enough to take those directions? Is there enough trust to follow through on what it says?" The Israelites did not trust the Lord enough to do what he said. They did not trust him enough to give those burdens to him. And if we're able to trust the Lord to give those burdens to Him, the Bible says in Proverbs, He will direct thy paths. That's such a comfort, because I have a terrible sense of direction. Let's go to the end of this chapter. Let's go to verse 11. Chapter 16, verse 11 says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. They had to learn to trust the Lord. They had to learn that God was going to provide all of their needs according to His riches. They had to get that, otherwise it wasn't going to go anywhere. It says in verse 35 of the same chapter, And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. They got to a point where they could trust the Lord in this matter. For 40 years they knew there's going to be manna on the ground, 6 out of every 7 days. And on the 6th day, there's going to be twice as much, because the Lord will provide the needs that we have. We live in a society today that wants to meet all our needs. It wants to be the thing we worship. The government wants to be the only thing that human beings need. It wants to meet the needs we have when we're unemployed, when we're sick, when we're sad, we go to the government. But the Lord doesn't say that. We need to be trusting in Him. He's the one that's going to provide for us. Let's go to Matthew real quick and we'll come back, because this is a good little side note. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. And we're going to say, start in verse 24. Matthew 14, 24 says, But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Where is your trust, Peter? He had trust. He got out of the boat. He left that burden of distrust and of fear in the boat. He got out. He started to walk. And then he saw the waves. He saw the storm. And his trust in the Lord started to wane, and that burden came back, and that burden started to drag him under the water. He looked at the waves and he thought, the waves are bigger than Jesus. And when we stop trusting the Lord, what we're saying is, my problem is bigger than Jesus. My problem is bigger than what the Lord can do, has done, and will do. And we know that's not the case, but as human beings, we forget. As human beings, like Peter, all we see is the storm that's right in front of us and not the Savior that's in there with us. So we don't believe God, we don't trust God. And then let's go back to Exodus again. And we're going to go back a little bit to chapter 13. Exodus 13 and verse 3 says, And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of By strength of hand, the Lord hath brought you out of this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Moses gives them a very easy, simple command. Remember this day. The third reason we pick up our burdens again is we don't remember God. We don't remember. If we go now to Exodus 17, we see murmuring again. Surprise! Exodus 17 and verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. There's a pattern here when it comes to the people of Israel. And it's the same pattern that's in our lives. And we want to whinge about things. It's just human nature. And we see here in chapter 17, four chapters after Moses told them, remember this day. They've already forgotten. They've already forgotten the Lord. They'd forgotten crossing through the Red Sea. They'd forgotten the 10 plagues. They'd forgotten the manna and the quails. They'd forgotten that already their clothes weren't wearing out. As they walked and they walked, it was already a little bit strange. And we want to really judge the people of Israel for this, don't we? What are they thinking? Forgetting all these amazing miracles. The hard thing is the Bible is a mirror. And when we look at the Israelites, we see ourselves. And we say, hang on, what about me? What amazing things has the Lord done that I've already forgotten about? What has He provided for me? What has He saved me from? I was an accident-prone child. Many accidents. Some of them were actual accidents. Some of them were me being stupid. It's probably about 70% me being stupid. But I stand before you today with all of my fingers and all of my toes and both eyes that still work somehow. I don't know how it happened. And I think about all the times that things nearly happened. Things almost happened. And I think about workmates who things did happen to. And things... I work in a hardware store at the moment. The amount of people that come in there missing a finger is terrifying. I don't like it at all. That's one of my biggest fears, is to lose some of my digits. And they come in and in my head I call them all Stumpy, but they have actual names. But they've had to learn to adjust to, you know, a thumb on one hand or something like that. The Lord saved me from that so far. So far. God willing, He continues to do that. He saved me from my sins. He saved me from all kinds of other terrible situations I kept putting myself into. And if we're honest with ourselves as Christians here tonight, all of us can think of times when the Lord did a miraculous thing in our life. He saved us from something, bad decisions. And we forget, don't we? We forget that the God that did those things is going to do other things for us in the future. The people of Israel forgot that the God who's provided them with manna every day since then has promised to take them to the promised land. And they forget, conveniently forgetting the things that they do. Let's go to Hebrews in chapter 12. We're nearly done here. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Verse 1 tells us to lay aside our weights. lay aside those burdens. Now, you can finish the race with the weights. It's a possibility. But it's going to be a slow, painful race. There's a type of race that is in the world today called the X Games. Has anybody heard of the X Games? It's CrossFit people, and they're very muscly and very strong, and so they will do a race with pretty much a flak jacket full of weights, and they'll have to run a certain distance and do so many push-ups and so many chin-ups and then run and climb over a wall, but they're doing it with weights. I mean, they can do it, but it hurts. You don't see the people at Olympics who are trying to go as fast as they can go, yeah, I'm going to do that same thing. Give me those weights. I'll show you. No. They are shaving their legs. They're taking everything off that they can think of. They're getting as light as they can to go as fast as they can. You don't run the 100 meters in your work boots. It's not going to work. You run them in the lightest shoe you can. You get rid of all extra weight. And the further the race goes, the more heavy everything feels. You might feel like that water bottle is a necessity at the beginning, but when you're 20 kilometers in, that water bottle is just unnecessary weight. You need to be throwing these things aside and not picking them up halfway. As Christians, we're almost greedy of our burdens. We want them. And then we don't want them, and then we want them, and then we don't want them, and we don't trust God, and then we do trust God. And that poor burden's almost a yo-yo going back and forth. We need to leave it with Jesus. Those burdens that we have in our lives, He has promised to take care of us. He has promised to meet our needs, and that all things will work together for good to them that love Him. Let's go to one more passage, and then we'll close. Let's go to 1 Peter in chapter 5. Tiny little verse, very well known, but I want us to see it in the scripture so we know that somebody wrote it that was inspired and it's not just me telling you some words. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting has the idea of getting rid of. We know you cast a fishing line, but most of the time when you cast something, it's rubbish. You're throwing rubbish away. You're casting it. You're not throwing it gently so you can pick it up later. You're throwing it with all of your strength. You're getting rid of that thing. And our cares can be so many things. It can be burdens. It can be past experiences. It can be distractions. It can be things that we waste our time with. All of these things are burdens that we don't need to carry as Christians. The Lord wants to take our burdens. He wants us to leave them at Calvary. And often we do. What we have to do is leave them there. And that's the hard part for us. We don't want to be a re-burdened Christian. We don't want to be a Christian who comes to church on Sunday depressed and sad because we've picked all those burdens back up. And the Lord is trying to get them back. And He's wrestling and He's pulling them. And He's going, give them to me, I can carry them. You can finish the race better. But we continually pick them back up. We don't want to be like that. Let's read that verse one more time and then we'll pray. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You again so much for this day that You've given us. Lord, help us to be thinking on these things. Help us to be reading our Bibles for ourselves, to be studying these things out. Lord, we pray that You'd be taking our burdens. Help us, Father, to be willing to leave them with You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.